recorded from an undisclosed location, it's time for Gotta Say It, the only sports show that goes around the stats. Because, well, stats are boring.
I'm just going to be nasty right now. I'm sorry. I apologize to the rest of the world, so Mom, don't listen.
And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams. And
I like him, but here's the thing. He always seemed to me like somebody passed gas in his face.
Matt Ryan.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome to Skypecast number one of GSI, Gotta Say It Radio, or podcast number 648968645.
It's episode nine, Mark.
Or nine, just whichever number is smaller. I'm Marvin Williams, as you just heard, and I'm actually recording or Skypecasting from a location somewhere in the deep bowels of the Nubian desert of Arabia, and I am joined from station. I think the space shuttle, to not be exact, is Mr. Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Orenthal, Gerard M. Audio Ryan, the 14th and a half.
And as soon as you say that, you become a robot. Robot Marvin's hosting the show now.
Robot Marvin. Oh my goodness. Let's see. Robot Marvin. Let's hope that he's thinner, smarter, and
he plays right field for the White Sox.
Which, you know, who hasn't? I mean, honestly, who hasn't? And, you know, speaking of chicken, what is the deal with the NBA Finals?
I don't know. It's absurd. It's gotten freaking ridiculous.
We went from having the exchange of games. I think a lot of people expected that. I think a lot of the, I'm going to say experts, and I'm doing the sarcastic quotes, which is kind of hard to do when you have poison ivy crawling up your back. It's a long story. Don't worry. There'll be video later. We see these two teams, and it's interesting because listening to what we discussed over a month ago, talking about these two teams being more the teams to beat in their, you know, respective conferences, the idea of the Heat with their talent, the idea of the Spurs with their veteran leadership and their veteran organization, and what a good matchup it would sort of be. And if I recall correctly, I think we both picked the Spurs, didn't we?
I believe so, yeah. I think I might have given the edge to the Heat just because they're so stacked and they were so determined, but you gave it to the Spurs off the jump.
Yeah, because, and what's interesting is, And here's what has happened. For those of you who don't know, one of my most favorite leagues ever to watch ever is the NBA. Okay, tongue firmly planted in cheek.
Can
no
you
way.
Just? Are you? We've got the Pelicans, and we're gonna get the Hornets back. What needs to be done
to get me to watch
yes.
the NBA? More of last night.
So defense
and yeah, defense. Okay. I'm going to say this, and now it's being documented for all of mankind to now be able to play this back in my face forever. No, I am not a LeBron James fan. I am a LeBron James supporter. Okay, please somebody get Matthew up off the floor. I heard him fall. He's falling and he can't get up. Just press the button on the thing on
it's
your chest.
Broken. I can't feel my thumbs, Marvin. I can't hit the button.
Darn Brooklyn. I mean, okay, look. Am I rooting for LeBron? No. But here's the thing, and it's sort of like that Tebow thing with me. LeBron, I believe, is probably one of the best athletes we've ever seen in, I'm going to say this, in any sport. And when I say athlete, I mean physical attributes, the things you can't coach, the height, the speed, the power, all that stuff.
He's built to play sports.
Exactly right. You know, all that. Oh, man, this is going to sound really racist. I almost said something really, you know, too late. Heck, I'm going to say it anyway. Look, you know, there was a comment that was made by an announcer back in the 70s around the time that Jimmy the Greek, who used to do, I believe it was CBS
yes,
Sports.
It was NFL Today.
NFL Today, who actually followed up with this, talking about how the Black American male or Black American athlete was bred because, and he went back to the whole idea of slavery of the biggest buck and the biggest girl and the whole line, and people got outraged. And even when I heard that, and I think I was maybe 8 years old, I was like, why are people upset? It's the truth. That's what it did. And I guess it's one of those things that truth, but we don't have to talk about it and pretend like it didn't happen to get that sort of aspect of our society, which we talk about this a little bit more when we talk about Aaron Hernandez later. But look, here's the reality. It's right. And you see somebody like LeBron who, as you so eloquently put it, built for athletics. And we see what he's able to do. Now, I'm the best basketball player ever. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying in terms of what I have physically seen, probably the best all-around athlete I've ever seen on any sort of field of competition. And that being said, the drama that comes along with that today with Twitter and the different mediums of contact that we have with the league and with the athletes and the advertisement, the fact that we see LeBron in all these different places – when he performs, and I notice I use the word performs the way he does on the court with the facial things, with the removing of the headband, with all the whining that goes along with the ref, he is a performer. He is Beethoven with his Ninth Symphony. He is Rachmaninoff with his Third Symphony. He is performing. It's not just basketball for him. It is a performance that he's putting on. And some of the things he does drives his fans crazy because they love it. And some of the things he does drives his detractors crazy because they hate it. And that's all a part of the gig. That's why he's the marketing tool that he is. That being said, here is the deal. When we saw those who watch, and yes, I watched. I even watched on my pad. I watched on my Android pad, Matthew.
Wow.
Yeah, welcome to the 19th century. Here I come. Okay, so when I was watching that, I saw two very strong teams with two very strong, well, one very strong and one very strong and upcoming coach. I saw them stick to strategy, some of it a little bit questionable, because they're playing at such a high level, and both teams were playing at where at it, all it took, and we saw this last night, one slight little misstep of error could cost you the game. And that's what happened with the Spurs. If they would have made one of the three free throws that they missed in the last, whatever it was, minute 19 or whatever, they would have been NBA champions. Okay, here we go. You know, I've never said anything about the refs. I believe if the refs cost you a game, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. But the call when the ball went out on LeBron, how many seconds left was that? That
about was 58 seconds, 38 seconds. It was one of those two.
It was clearly off LeBron. The referees missed that. And I'm sorry, we said this back when we were broadcasting live on the air. There's something about having 20-year-old athletes who can run faster than the speed of light being refereed by guys who are 197 years old who can run half the speed of smell trying to tell what they're doing. There's something wrong with that. But anyway, that being said, that's the kind of call you're going to get. Unfortunately, happened at a big moment with 17 cameras around it where everybody saw it. But, okay, let's leave that aside. Let's also leave aside the fact that Manu Ginobili needs to file a police report for how he got treated running into the lanes. We saw guys take off his shirt. One guy was trying to give him a tattoo. Another guy untied his shoes. I think it was the Crime Olympics
from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Exactly. I think, I'm telling you, Dwayne Wade gave him a wedgie. I saw I mean, but wait a minute. Why did Ginobili not get that call? It's not just because they were in Miami. It's because they've been a mess all night. And I'm saying this as an athlete. When you are a mess during a game, you don't get a call because the refs don't have confidence to give you a call. And I'm not saying that's fair, and I'm not saying that's right, but that is the reality of that situation. And guess what? The Miami Heat capitalized, and in capitalizing, We now have a game seven, which we can only hope will be as good as what we got last night, because goodness knows the three games before last night, or the four games before last night, were a mess. There were 20-point blowouts here and there. Oh, my goodness. It was just like, okay, the game was over by the time we got to the fourth quarter, all because each team and each one of their respective wins, they were able to make these huge 20-2, 29-1, 21-0 runs against the other team. So you ended up with this huge, I mean, game that would be close for three quarters, all of a sudden not be close for the last quarter. And you kind of felt that was happening last night. And a lot of the fans in Miami left. They pulled the L.A. on you. And next thing you know, here comes the Heat. I mean, they didn't let up, and it was led by LeBron James. And I'm telling you, I look, from cats that I respect who know more about, who forgotten more about the professional basketball than Matthew and I would probably ever know combined, they said the one athlete that they saw completely change the game was Wilt Chamberlain. They said he was the one who came in. He looked like he was about 20 years ahead of his time. You know, all the different things that sort of went down with Wilt Chamberlain. And I know a lot of people say, well, what about Jabbar? They changed the rules about dunking and this, that, and the third and whatever. Yes, they did. But that was fueled by what Wilt Chamberlain brought to the table. And, you know, they talked about his ability to pass and his ability to do all these other things that were just amazing. And yes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one of those sorts of players too, but there would be no Kareem Abdul-Jabbar if not for a Wilt Chamberlain. So LeBron is that sort of player now, where the rules have changed about what we look at in our athletes. And with all due, I'm going to say this, with all due respect to the other people who are considered whatever, like the Kobe Bryants or whatever. Kobe Bryant is a great basketball player. I would not consider him a great athlete on the level of LeBron. I'm not saying he's a bad athlete. Trust me, you're talking about one of the best basketball players ever. But LeBron could put on a helmet. LeBron could put on a baseball glove. LeBron can you imagine LeBron as a forward for the New York Rangers?
I'd cry. I'd cry for days.
But you know what? I mean, I guess at what, 6'6", 6'9", he'd be a defenseman.
He'd be Zdeno Chara with a more dangerous hip check.
And able to do hip-hop. So, I don't know. We've never seen Zdeno Chara do hip-hop.
I have an odd feeling he can do the electric boogaloo with quite amount of confidence.
I think that would be quite amazing. And he could do it in his native language, which would be awesome.
I kind of want to see this happen now.
Look, you're the producer who makes everything happen. If for those who don't know, without Matthew Ryan, there would be no Justin Bieber and there would be no green Christmas trees. You need to make this happen.
I'll see what I can do. If anything, it's just going to be a Russian dude from Manhattan Beach with a shirt off dancing on some cardboard awkwardly.
Well, you know what they say? They all look alike. So the idea of what we see with the NBA Finals, I think, is an amazing thing. We have two really good teams. Yes, I said that. We have two very strong franchises. Yes, I said that. And this is what is good about that professional league. We see defense. We see offense. We see hustle. We see – how many times did you see Tim Duncan hit the floor? How many times did you see a LeBron James hit the floor? You know, we all know Dwayne Wade lives on the floor. You know, it's when we get a chance to see that is the best of what that sport has to offer. And the fact that there are stars and there's stars in the making, I'm sorry. Looking at those young kids for the Spurs, they found another Tim Duncan in number two. I mean, he's going to be a guy pick up where Tim Duncan leaves off. He's the same sort of character. He's quiet. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't get nuts. He comes in. He does his job. It's just amazing how some organizations completely get it right all the time. And it's great to
see. It's a real testament to that franchise, because ever since they've drafted David Robinson, they've been on a slow but steady ascent. And they've stuck into the upper echelon of the NBA for the better part of 20 years at this point. And it's really good to see teams being built in the way that Auerbach built teams, or even Red Holtzman to a certain extent built teams, around a key nucleus of people finding the best talent and excavating via the draft. the NBA has kind of lost its way in a sense of building around homegrown stars. But Oklahoma City, who, oddly enough, Sam Presti is an R.C. Buford disciple, so obviously he sees it in that way. But it's a refreshing thing to see a team like the Spurs go for their fifth championship in the better part of two and a half decades.
Right. Let's see, Pop has been there 14 years, right? Yeah, 13, 14 years, whatever. He's been there, and that's something else you don't see, because I'm not saying that the Spurs had bad years, but they had some years where if that franchise was anyplace else, let's say New York or New Jersey or whatever, he'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. But, you know, talking about somebody who stays the course, and when we come back in the second half of this Skype cast, I'm going to tell you about my interaction, again, for those of you who might not have heard the story, with David Robinson and with Tim Duncan, and how if we would have had this show back then, which technically we did, it was just in a different universe, I can give you a big GSI told you so. Coming back on the second half of this Skype cast.
And now a GSI classic.
Welcome back to our Skype cast here with Marvin Williams, joined by Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Orenthal, Gerard Tinkerbell, Ryan the 17th and a half and a third.
Clap your hands in everybody so I could fly. Clap your hands, everyone.
Clap your hands, everybody. So I think that's a Jay-Z line. Speaking of Jay-Z, we left off talking about the Spurs. And one of the moments of awesomeness. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it that way. I've had many moments of awesomeness, and most of those moments had nothing to do with me, like this particular one. David Robinson, one of my choices for colleges coming out of high school was the Naval Academy. I went through the whole thing. I got the letters from the senator and the representative, and I did the workout, and you know, passed the physical, the whole nine or whatever. And I make my visit up to the Naval Academy, and David Robinson was coming back as he was. I think it was right before he was going to start with the Spurs, because he had to, you know, he's going to serve some of his time, and then they gave him the waiver. He was working out with the basketball team, so I got a chance to work out with this cat, and I didn't really know a lot about him. All I know is that he was a cat who was 7'2 or whatever, and I played with guys who were 7'2, so that didn't intimidate me at all. And I was used to them being these sort of skinny, flimsy, weak guys that, you know, as soon as you put an elbow into their, you know, lower abdomen, they're going to hit the ground. And, you know, he was on those casts that I put an elbow in his lower abdomen, and he just kind of laughed, and my elbow still hurts. And he set a pick, and I figured I can just run through this pick. It's no big deal. And I think it took me 7 minutes to get up off the floor because I had no, I think, I mean, I think not only was I concussed, I think I forgot the English language and started speaking Arabic or something like that. I don't even know. But so, you know, it was one of the first times I ran into a 7-footer, you know, outside of maybe someone like Shaquille O'Neal, who was not just an athlete, but a smart athlete and really had good footwork and played the game or whatever, you know. So I hear that he's going to this team in San Antonio Spurs, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, man, these guys are getting a really good guy, a really good player. But he was so soft-spoken at a time when you had guys like Charles Barkley running around and all this other stuff, and, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this guy going to fit into that league? I said, man, it would be really cool if he could be successful, because he's the kind of guy that you would trust to babysit your kids. If you were the guy who had to give it up and give it full measure of devotion for your country, he's the one you want looking after your family. I mean, he's that kind of guy, and it's for real. And his faith and everything else is not planned. It's not staged. He is really who he is. And so it was really nice to actually experience that. And then to see him sort of progress, as we know, as his career went forward, it was really nice to see him getting the recognition that he got. Now, flash forward, I think it was Tim Duncan came in the league. What was it? It was
97, 98, around there.
Hey, oh, this is perfect. So here we go. What I remember about Tim Duncan is this. I remember a buddy of mine from college had just gotten an assistant coaching at Wake Forest. And it wasn't in basketball. It was in something else. I think it was football or something like that, because I didn't even know they had a football team. Oops, sorry. So he tells me about this cat that he says, man, this guy kind of reminds me of you. He shows up. He does his job. He doesn't say anything. He's not flashy. He always says, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Whatever, whatever. He said, reminds me of you back in school, except for this guy has talent. I went, okay, that's nice. So he talks about this cat who just started playing basketball right before he came to the States, that was really a soccer player or something like that, or whatever, a swimmer. I think it was a swimmer or something. Some other odd kind of sport. And he talked about this cat and Timothy Duncan. I'm thinking to myself, Timothy Duncan, well, that's actually kind of a cool name if he's going to play basketball. Duncan, like dunk, So I go to a couple of Wake Forest games and I see this cat. I'm saying, wow, he's got good footwork. He's very coachable. He's obviously the star of the team, and yet the coach could yell at him and he wouldn't get as crazy. But if you can go and YouTube some of Tim Duncan college games, you see pretty much the same game you see now, except for he was about 35 pounds lighter. That's it. So, maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe I'm sort of misremembering it now. But this guy was a really solid college basketball player. But he was as quiet, okay? Unlike the guys who were still coming out of high school that were getting all the hype, like the McGrady's and the guys who played a couple years of college, like the Vince Carters. This cat was a cat who was basically your workman's put on the hard hat, show up every day, do your job, do it right, do the right thing off the court. And I'm thinking to myself, when I watched this guy, I was thinking, it would be so cool if he would. I'm thinking with because sort of flashing back to, the days of Akeem Olajuwon and all that other stuff, right? I mean, I'm sort of having that in my head, and which is around the same time. I'm thinking, imagine Tim Duncan in San Antonio, or even in Houston with Akeem Olajuwon, for that matter. You know, that sort of twin tower thing, even though I think Ralph Sampson was sort of on his way out at this particular
point. When Robinson went in?
When Akeem was having a heyday in Houston.
The Twin Towers were there I'd say they lasted about 3 years, maybe. Because they had that huge run when they knocked the Lakers out and made it all the way. And then after that, the team just kind of faded out.
Right, exactly. Just injuries. Just couldn't keep up, injuries. But so I see this cat, Tim Duncan. I'm thinking to myself, what better organization for him to be with than the San Antonio Spurs? So for the first time, yes, I said this, I actually paid attention to the draft. The last time I paid attention to the draft was when my teammate and the guy who brought me to McNeese State University, Joe Dumars, went to the Pistons. That was the first time. The second time was the year Tim Duncan got drafted, and we went to San Antonio, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be awesome to see those two guys together. And the commercials about those two guys, like, you know,
right guard.
Yeah, Exactly. You know, David Robinson, you know, telling Timmy, come stay at my house or whatever. And they really did that, and how he really mentored this kid. And you're seeing the fruits of it right now. And now Tim Duncan is doing the exact same thing to the kids coming under. It is just, for those of you who might not know, Danny Green, believe it or not, yes, I know he went to North Carolina. Kingsborough Community College had a shot at that kid. Only because he was undecided with his letter of intent. He wasn't sure where he was going to go. And I forgot the whole story. And I'm not sure how much of public knowledge this is. So I'm going to be kind of careful here. But at one point, he was going to come to school to get it together before he went to wherever he was going to go to take a scholarship from. And there was three other cats that this happened to as well. Came to Kingsborough Community College just to take a semester. And the coach of Kingsborough, Hassam Duncan, said, look, I got a chance to get this kid. He's a really, really good player. He's been recruited by D1 schools. He's a really good kid. You know, we got a shot to get him. Like, let's get him. We could not get him enrolled.
What?
Get him enrolled, which actually did him a favor because he didn't lose a year. But it was just one of those things of just like Saltillamacchia is another baseball player that came to Kingsborough from, I think it's from Suffolk. I think he ended up going to Suffolk County Community College. The only reason he went there because he couldn't get in at Kingsborough. He was going through the application process, and we're open enrollment, which makes no sense. But he got to run around so bad that he gave up after about 7 hours of being, as you well know, being a Kingsborough alum.
I've got stories.
Exactly. So, you know,
how long ago was this? Because Danny Green's only been in the league for a little while.
I think it was my last year of working with the men's team. So I think it was, oh my goodness, I want to say, let's see, he went all 3 years at North Carolina, right? I'm sorry, all 4 years at North Carolina, because he was on the national championship team, mm-hmm. Marvin Williams. So not me, the other one. So this had to be like a year before, whatever year that was. I'm sorry. The problem with coaching is all the years become the same. It's just the players change. But it's like for you, it's the same year. It's just the people in the locker room come in and out. But it would have been, I guess, the year before or 2 years before North Carolina won their championship before he got drafted. So we had a shot at that kid. And actually, we had a strong team that year because I remember having the kid from France who actually ended up going back to play professional ball in Europe, and another kid from Manhattan who was in the he was actually in the movie that they did about the kid, one of the last kids to go pro out of high school, Sebastian
Telfair.
Thank you. That movie that they did about him from his high school team, one of those cats was actually on our team. Now he was a better talker, he was a basketball player, but yet and still it was. You know, we had actually pretty strong team that year. That was the year that we went to the Final Four for the regional. We actually went to the regional championship game with a chance to go to the national championship tournament. We were actually the favorite. We were leading West Suffolk by 28 points at halftime. And at halftime, three of our players got into a fist fight in the locker room, and we lost by darn near 30. About that year. But, yeah, so...
You know,
I mean,
what? I think I'm going to add some highlights of when I called Kingsborough basketball at the end of this episode. I might add a little bit of that just to show... Because I called their CUNYAC title season in 2010?
And since you've been gone, what have they done? Absolutely. I didn't say it again.
Really?
No. It's just... You know, they get rid of talent, see what happens. And there you go. So when we talk about what organizations don't do right, and you talk about organizations who do stuff right, like the Spurs, you look at what they're able to put together, they're going to be a force for a long time. Now, my question to you is, how much longer do you think Pop is going to coach?
I think he might retire if they win.
You think so?
Because I think he would want to go out together.
That's interesting that you would say that, because I've heard a few other people sort of mention that concept of, you know what, this might be if they win, Tim Duncan goes, Pop goes with Tim. He's got a strong coaching staff, somebody there would probably take over and just continue the whole Pop philosophy. Mm-hmm. But Man, to me, he looks like he's still got that fire.
Oh, he does. But it's one of those things where it's like, how much else can you do?
Yeah. Now, a question. Do you think Pop, who's known to be a little bit different, really sees it that way?
I don't think so, but I'm a guy that likes the all ends and a happy ending thing, so I'd like to see them winning Game 7, and then Popovich and Duncan go out together, and then it creates a whole new era in San Antonio, because I don't want it to get to the point where Popovich gets released, or like they start putting together mediocre ball clubs, and then he gets flack for it, because that's just not the way I want to see Popovich go out. And that would just...
Yeah,
I don't need that happening to that coach.
You know, it's funny you said that. You know, my last day in a minor league uniform was getting rained on in the middle of Sarasota, Florida, spring training with the White Sox, with a tore up knee, thinking to myself, this is probably going to be really it for me. And for somebody like me who was really a never was to go out like that is one thing. I think of somebody else who went out on the same field, Tom Glavine, pitching a simulated game. I can't even remember. It just doesn't matter. It was Tom Glavine pitching on a minor league field, thinking that he's going to be called up to the Braves the next day and finishing the game, going into the locker room and getting a phone call of, we're going to release you. Some guys just should never go out like that, and I agree with you. Popovich is one of those cats who it would be a shame to see him go out like that, to go out, you know, a year or two from now when they might not be as strong or whatever. But I really kind of feel that that team is too strong, and he has too much of a foundation with these young kids that he would his career as a coach would end that way. Once again, my feeling, my gut, just like with yours, I would love to see the happy ending, but we all know we live in, well, this ain't Canada.
Yeah.
So, you know, to quote Iron Man. So, you know, well, not that Iron Man said that. It was really Hammer, Justin Hammer, if you've ever watched Iron Man 2, but which I did four times yesterday.
Really? Four times?
Well, okay, 3.5. But it was... it felt like four. It you know, after a while, never mind. Don't ask. So speaking of not asking, you can ask us anything else you want to, though, other than Iron Man 2, by shooting us a tweet at Gotta Say It Radio, giving us an email at gottasayitradio@gmail.com, or you can just catch up on all our podcasts that Matthew is so awesomely putting up and making available. You can go to our main webpage at gottasayitradio.webs.com with a new web address to come soon. And if there's anything else you want to hear from us, like you want to chime in on our GSI Told You So's or our GSI Missed It's, please do, because we love to hear from you, because being from Brooklyn, we go hard. Let's get together, get some land, raise our